Welcome to a new week of Shattering This, a program that is devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who have finally come to realize that the world's political, and that would be all of them, every religious, every military, every economic, and every media institution has become corrupt, that they are now counterproductive and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to assess the environment that lays before us and participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. There is two bits of news out of Jerusalem, Yisrael. One is that the Secretary General of the anti-Semitic organization known as the United Nations on Monday condemned what he called provocations at Jerusalem's holy sites. Now, the fact of the matter is, Muslims are grotesque. They not only don't want to allow anyone on the Temple Mount, even though it is the Temple Mount of the Jews. It is Yahweh's Temple Mount. It is the capital of Jerusalem. And yet these slime have built two trashy mosques, a mosque and a shrine, to show that, oh, they're superior to the hated Jews. Well, now they're throwing Molotov cocktails, bombs, rocks, and other paraphernalia at Jews below. And they're hiding in the Al-Aqsa Mosque after they commit their acts of terrorism and vandalism. And the Jews are simply trying to keep them from hurting themselves and others. And yet the United Nations Secretary General, scumbag that he is condemning the Jews. Scores of Israeli police actually entered the mosque compound in the old city of Jerusalem, because the mosque is the place from which the terrorist emerged, and it is the place to which they retreated. And they found there hundreds of petrol bombs, stones, bottle rockets, and other fireworks, as well as masked Muslims, all waiting for the opportunity to injure others. And for taking these devices away from them and dispersing them, not even arresting them, a moron, the head of the United Nations, is condemning the Jews. Hamas broke their treaty, as Muslims always do, and began to fire rockets into Israel. Worse, as bad, they kidnapped four Jewish children, three boys and a girl, murdered all four of them in cold blood, celebrated the murders. I mean, absolutely danced in the streets and talked about how wonderful the kidnaps and murders of these innocent children were. And after firing hundreds of rockets in complete violation of the treaty that they had instigated with Israel, they began to use their tunnels to infiltrate Israel. Money that they had been given in charity for the poor to build homes had been used to build these tunnels. And yet, they used their own slave labor, enslaved their own children, put them in unbelievably hideous circumstances, murdered most of them so they wouldn't reveal what they had done after the fact, and then used these tunnels to infiltrate Israel, to terrorize its citizens. And now, the world rewards this disgusting behavior with $5.4 billion. Yep, that's how much has been pledged to the mythical Palestinians, the terrorists, the fundamentalist Muslims, the mass murderers, the people whose lives are so hideously awful that they allow their own children to play around rocket launchers in hopes that they will be killed so that they can bemoan how terrible those Jews are. The world has pledged $5.4 billion to Gaza. I tell you, we are so upside down morally. I'm sure Ben Affleck was one of those who decided he would lobby on behalf of these scumbags, of these terrorists, of these pathetic people. The total announced by the Norwegian foreign minister exceeded the $4 billion the Palestinian Authority had even asked for. They go and destroy their community by being belligerent. They started another war with Israel and lost. They were pathetic. They were disgusting. They were typical Islamic terrorists, and they lost in typical Islamic fashion. And they begged the world for $4 billion, and the world leaders, including the United States, give them $5.4 billion. We ought to be ashamed. If we had a conscience, I guess we would be ashamed. Half of the sum would be dedicated to work in Gaza without specifying how they could use the other half. Oh, well, let's buy missiles. Let's buy rockets. Let's buy bomb-making materials. Let's buy suicide vests. That's what we ought to do. Yeah, we could go another $2.7 billion would buy a lot of war materials. Speaking at the news conference, the foreign minister of Norway. What in the world is Norway doing in all of this? Said that only part of this money would be used for reconstruction. And all of the rest would either be devoted to the daily needs of the Palestinians. You see, they don't work. They don't have any economy. They don't work because there's no reason for them to work. Why would you work if the world's going to reward you for being inhuman? No, why be human if you can get rewarded for being inhuman? This is a major breakthrough and a very important signal of solidarity to the Palestinian people. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people. If you're writing that or saying that, then the fact is you're either ignorant, irrational, immoral, or you're trying to prove a point for which there is no justification, or all of the above. Well, this Mr. Brende, the head of foreign relations for the Norwegians, said it's an important day for the solidarity of the mythical people known as the Palestinians in general, and not the least to which the people are suffering so badly in Gaza. Why are they suffering? Why are they suffering? Right next door, the Jews are thriving. Why are they suffering? Conditions are no different in Gaza than they are in Israel. Why are the Gazans suffering? In fact, they've got better relations, obviously, with Egypt. They've got better relations with everybody around. There's no one trying to blockade them, except for military hardware. No one.
Based on the money you're talking about, they have better relations with the UN, too.
Oh, can you imagine? You've got a little strip of land, and they give them $5.4 billion? I mean, it's so out of order. It's like, you know, if we're a nation and we throw money at Islamic terrorists, that the other Islamic terrorists are going to look at that and say, okay, Norway gave $200 million, the United States gave $800 million. We're not going to count the United States because what they gave, because we hate them anyway. Let's see, we got France here at $100 million. So I guess what we'll do is the next terrorist attack, will sidestep France and Norway and will go to Sweden because they only gave half as much. And they're thinking, somehow, these nations, that if they reward Islamic terrorists, that other Islamic terrorists won't hate them so much. I'm going to tell you, folks, it doesn't work that way. And when you reward bad behavior, guess what you get more of?
Bad behavior?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a difficult equation. If you reward terrorism, you're going to get more terrorism by giving Gaza $5.4 billion. And when they started a war with Israel based upon breaching their own accord with Israel and doing so in a terrorist fashion and asking their own children and women to hang around the rocket launchers so that when Israel retaliated, they'd be killed as martyrs. And you want to reward that kind of behavior? You go ahead. But, you know, the fact that the United States was a large contributor makes me sick. Disgusting. And it's times like these where I'm repulsed to be an American citizen. And everybody listening to this message, if you're an American citizen, you ought to be repulsed as well. But if you're a Brit, it's no better. If you're French, it's no better. The world has decided that it hates Yahweh's chosen people. And so anybody that is at war with them, no matter how heinous, no matter how barbaric, no matter how inhuman, no matter how destructive and deadly and deceitful, it matters not. No matter that the Gazans and Hamas are no different than the Islamic State. They're no different than Al-Qaeda. They're no different than the Muslim Brotherhood. They're no different than the terrorists that are fighting each other and ripping Libya apart. And yet, we're going to reward them. We're going to, as bankrupt countries, we're going to lavish $5.4 billion on these terrorists, rewarding their behavior. You know, and there's a comedy tour that ends every stupid statement by saying, here's your sign. Here's your sign, America, for the rest of the world. Wear it proudly. You've lost your ability. The donor nations, some 50 nations around the world, rewarding Islamic terrorism and Hamas. Just amazing. Though, we're declaring war on Islamic terrorism against the Islamic State. And yet, in Gaza, where Hamas is a equally ruthless, fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization, we're rewarding them with $5 billion. I mean, yesterday, the richest terrorist organization in the world was the Islamic State. But I guess one way to keep the Islamic State from being able to use the propaganda that it's the best financed terrorist organization in the world is to provide $5.4 billion to Hamas. So today, Hamas is the best financed terrorist organization in the world. And it's been financed through the United Nations. Yeah. So this edifice in New York City that is supposed to be devoted to the peaceful coexistence of man just coordinated $5.4 billion to fund the world's richest terrorist organization, Hamas. The world is so upside down, folks. If you're still among those Americans that's celebrating your military, singing the Star-Spangled Banner, voting at elections for national candidates, shame on you. You're just not thinking. You're part of this massive cadre of people who've been so indoctrinated with political correctness, you've lost the ability to act morally. And this is egregious. In the midst of it all, Secretary of State of the United States, Kerry, announced another $200 and some odd million dollars for these terrorists. So, yeah, the United States is contributing. This is the third gift that the United States has given since Hamas breached their treaty with Israel and started acting like terrorists again. He said, the people of Gaza do need our help desperately. Not tomorrow. Not next week. They need it now. He cried. Why do they need it? Why? Because they welched on their treaty not to fire rockets in Israel, and they did. Why? Because they lost in their belligerence. Why? Because they don't work. Why? Because they're not educated. Why? Because they have a religion that gives no one any reason to live, only a reason to die. Why? 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 The U.S. has committed more than $400 million to aid the mythical people known as Palestinians, although he didn't acknowledge them as mythical. Kerry said, the State Department breakdown suggests, however, that only part of the new money will go directly to Gaza. According to the department, $100 million would go toward bolstering the Palestinian Authority budget, and $37 million would go towards the Palestinian Authority institutions, including water infrastructure in the West Bank. Just $75 million will be set aside for urgent relief in Gaza. Oh, boy, isn't that swell. The United States had committed $118 million for the Gaza effort and $84 million to the UN Relief and Works Agency, which cares for the Palestinian refugees. Why is there a Palestinian refugee? I mean, first of all, why is there a Palestinian? I haven't been a Palestinian in, 2,600 years. So there clearly can't be a Palestinian. But why are there refugees? Because Israel said, you know, when they became a state, live with us. Live with us. You can experience all of the same success that we achieve in this land. You have full right to vote, full rights as a citizen, full rights under the law, full rights to education, even if you contribute very little to it. Full rights to the same court system, full rights to everything. Economic prosperity, education. And no, the Muslims living around Israel told those Muslims, get out of the way so that we can wipe them out to the last. If they're refugees, don't blame Israel. The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, we're obviously moving on to the next story, said a breach of protocol caused a healthcare worker at a Dallas hospital to test positive for Ebola. The healthcare worker, a female nurse at the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital, had extensive contact on multiple occasions with the scumbag known as Thomas Duncan, the first person diagnosed with Ebola in the United States, who died last week. The preliminary diagnosis, when confirmed, reveals that this is the first case of Ebola being transmitted in the United States. No, the fact is, she was wearing full protective gear during the whole time. Never without the gear. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The story of the nurse in Dallas is really saddening. And it's saddening for a lot of reasons. You know, the Friedman, the head of the Centers for Disease Control, I was going to nominate for my moron of the week. You know, last week it had to be Ben Affleck as moron of the week. That person who is deliberately siding with those who commit wanton acts of deceit, death, and destruction. The week before that, of course, it was the Obaminator in his speech to the United Nations. This week, the lead candidate for Moron of the Week was Friedman, the head of the CDC. And his comment to start the week was that that quarantining Liberia is the wrong approach to containing Ebola. It happens to be the only sane approach to controlling Ebola. In this particular article, he's talking about, you know, we have no idea how the nurse contracted the disease. I mean, there's a story out that she took off one layer of clothes but hadn't yet removed her inner gloves. And after she had removed her goggles and the outer layer, she touched her, scratched her eye with her inner gloves. Now, may well have done that, and that may well be a breach of protocol. But, you know, I've done a lot of things where you have to do everything perfectly, time after time, to survive. An instrument approach, for example, in a high-performance airplane into a difficult airport at minimums. There's no wiggle room, no chance for a mistake that you can recover from. Scuba diving at depths and the whole process of knowing how long you can stay down and how you breathe and how you come back up. There's lots of things where precision is required. And one of the things that you learn when you do these kinds of things is that no matter how much training you've had, and I can assure you that no healthcare worker in Dallas has received as much training in how to don and disembark from these suits as pilots have on how to conduct an instrument landing. And yet, we goof. We all do. We make mistakes, big and small. We humans are flawed. We will never be perfect. To put a person in a position of life and death when the only way that they're going to live is to be perfect is just not fair. It's unreasonable. What you're going to do is if you continue to take this kind of approach and take Ebola patients in to try to cure them as opposed to disassociate from them and let them die, quarantine them, is you're not going to have any healthcare workers. I wouldn't do it. You know, and in this particular case, this person knew that he had Ebola, infected his family, four schools, this hospital, this nurse, all to die of this disease. And we did everything wrong, including putting him on a respirator, giving him dialysis, treating him, spending millions of dollars, exposing others to him, rewarding bad behavior. He made bad behavior. He lied about his contact with those who had died of Ebola. And so we rewarded bad behavior. We made every possible bad decision. And yet the head of the CDC is told, oh, don't worry. We've got this thing nailed. We're going to stop it in its tracks. You have nothing to worry about. We know what we're doing. Bull didn't turn out that way, did it? Now, Scott plays football where the gear is cumbersome to remove. I remember my days a long time ago. Getting out of the shoulder pads and the jersey and football, not easy. And getting out of the protective gear, the full head-to-toe thick suits that you wear when you dive in cold water, another one of those issues, particularly with the weights and the buoyancy devices and the tank and all of those gears, your fins and your masks and your gloves, it's cumbersome. Well, getting out of this gear, it's no easy trick. And getting in it and out of gear repetitively to take care of somebody who's got a disease that if anything on their body touches you and your body, you're going to die? That's not something any rational person would want to expose themselves to. And clearly, the head of the CDC lied. It's no more trustworthy than any politician in America. And he says, the bottom line is we don't know how she got Ebola. We just know that she breached protocol somehow, as a process or protocol would resolve this disease. There's only one way to resolve Ebola, quarantine. It has to be looked at as a death sentence. Those that have it, those that have been exposed to it, those that contract Ebola, have to be allowed to die, quarantined, separated. Because when unaffected people are influenced by those who have the disease, it spreads. It would have been hundreds who would have died, not thousands, had we taken this approach. There are diseases like Ebola, like Islam, that the most merciful thing we can do is to quarantine that disease. Because the disease is lethal. Dateline Cairo. Fighting between Muslim militias and rival groups in Western Libya has led to the deaths of 23 people. An intense battle also left 43 people mutilated, mainly from shrapnel wounds. The fighting is part of a nationwide power struggle between Islamist militias, which have seized control of most of Tripoli, including its international airport, and have held it for many months now. The United States led a coalition of bombers, and Qatar led a coalition of gunrunners that turned Libya from a dictatorship under Muammar Gaddafi into a living hellhole where there is no law and order, no education for the people. Most of the time, the electricity doesn't work. Savage living conditions. And it's a constant battle between rival Muslim militias. We broke the country. We bombed it. We broke it. We armed it thinking, oh, wow, we have freedom fighters here. Let's arm the freedom fighters and they'll get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. And oh, boy, we'll have democracy. It was stupid. It had a 0% chance of success and a 100% chance of abject failure, making a bad situation worse. Like the invasion of Afghanistan. There was a 0% possibility of success and a 100% likelihood that we were going to make a bad situation worse, and we did. The invasion of Iraq, exactly the same thing. Think about what Iraq was like. It was the enemy of Iran. The Middle East was essentially a peace. Only skirmishes were between Muslims and Israel. There were no other real wars. Occasionally a bombing here and there in Lebanon. But the carnage was in the scores of individuals, not hundreds of thousands. There weren't entire population groups, like over 1 million Christians annihilated. And what did we do? With in a region where terrorism was almost nil, the United States invaded Iraq. We lost 6,000 of our own troops. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians died. We never once engaged the Iraqi military. We fought and were attacked by Muslims, Iraqi civilians, jihadists. We made a bad situation worse. We broke the country. It's a shell of what it once was. And now it's in a civil war. Three parties that are unreconcilable. The Shiites, whose only allegiance is with Iran. That's bad. Now have an army that America gave them. The Sunnis, who have leagued between the rebels fighting Assad in Syria, armed by Qatar, and the awakening program of Sunnis armed by America in Iraq, have joined forces. They are now the Islamic State. The most ruthless expression, the most successful, truest expression of Islam on planet Earth today. And then you have the Kurds, who America has provided an entire army of weapons to, who will never integrate. We broke the country. It's a civil war between three highly armed groups. And it's just a mess. We continue to make a mess of all of this. And so in Libya, we don't even want to talk about Libya anymore because of the disaster that we created there. But now, All there is Islamist militias, the most famous of which is Libya Dawn, fighting for control over the country. And so you're going to go from a secular, syphilitic dictator to fundamentalist Islamic jihadi groups over that country. You know, and it's like Ebola in a way. Because we intervened in Libya and made a bad situation worse and provided so many arms, those arms and those terrorists have been exported. Many of them are fighting for the Islamic State. Many more are fighting for Boko Haram. They're engaged in the Central African Republic. They're engaged in Mali. They're engaged in Nigeria. They're engaged in Tunisia. They're engaged in the Sinai. They're engaged in Syria. They're engaged in Iraq. Fighting and killing, spreading their disease, fundamental Islam, around the world. Sometimes quarantine is the most merciful approach. We did just the opposite. I don't know if you recall, but about a month or so ago, the United States carried out a bombing run of Somalia. And we killed the head of the LADS, the Al-Shabaab leader. Oh, surely. Killing him, that would be the end of Al-Shabaab. Just as killing Osama bin Laden would be the end of Al-Qaeda. Just like killing the fellow that founded Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and had that slick marketing appeal. Oh, that would be the end of it, too. It doesn't turn out that way. Dateline Mogadishu, Somalia. A car bomb exploded outside a popular cafe in Somalia's capital, killing 11 people and wounding 8 others. The blast struck the Aroma Cafe in Mogadishu. The bomb was believed to have been detonated by remote control. Oh, so what do you mean a suicide bomber? Said the police official, Mohammed Hussein. Most of those who died were sitting outside the cafe. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but suspicion has fallen on the LADS, Al-Shabaab, the militant group with links to Al-Qaeda, because they're both Islamic, whose members have vowed to avenge the death of their leader, Ahmad Abdi Godane. Mr. Godane was killed in early September by an American airstrike. Well, he was replaced the following day by Ahmed Omar, who, by the way, is also a Muslim. The Shabaab, the LADS, have continued to carry out attacks on Somalia's capital despite being pushed out of Mogadishu in August of 2011 by African Union forces supporting Somalia's weak government. Somali government troops backed by the African Union forces were making progress in capturing the remaining Shabaab strongholds. And then kaboom. You know, it's probably not Islamic, though, huh? You know, the killing that just took place in Libya, probably not Islamic either. And I'm sure that Hamas really isn't an Islamic organization. We have the President of the United States on record saying, first, I want to make the point that Hamas is not Islamic. The Islamic terrorists in Libya, they're not Islamic. Al-Shabaab, the Islamic group in Somalia, well, of course, they're not Islamic. They, along with the non-Islamic Islamic State, are all showing us what it's like not to be Islamic. I mentioned this in passing, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention that last week it was found that one of the victims on the flight, Malaysian airline flight over the Ukraine that crashed, was wearing an oxygen mask. And we've now seen two depictions of what happened. You know, all this time we stood. And the two depictions, neither one of which suggest the Buk missile. The first was panels on the side of the airplane that were riddled with large caliber gunshots. The panels were, a panel might be 3 feet by 2 feet, and it would look like it had 40 or 50 gunshot entry holes, all round holes, very, very close together in a pattern on the side of the airplane. Now, that's not how a missile destroys an airplane. And now, one of the passengers wearing an oxygen mask. You know, in these commercial airliners, this was a 777, typically, you either have to have a rapid decompression of the aircraft, which would then trigger the oxygen mask to fall, or they have to be deployed. And if there's a rapid decompression of the aircraft, gun holes, a missile, for example, would do that. But if it's a missile, the airplane's blown in pieces. The airplane's tumbling, the forces are such that even if the mass were to fall, you aren't putting it on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not going to have
seen, just,
oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say,
I was going to say that,
oh,
here we are. Yeah. Okay, I'll try. You've seen the war pictures where somebody shoots a small missile. And this was, you know, these Bock are huge missiles. But you see somebody airplane to airplane shoot a missile at an airplane, and what happens? Airplane just disintegrates, right? And it's just kaboom. You don't see people grabbing for oxygen masks. If it was hit by a massive Bock missile from the Russian inventory, that individual would not be wearing an oxygen mask. We haven't been told the truth. We don't know the truth. But something's amiss.